Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirituality. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality with your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, Teacher, Speaker, Author, but more importantly, a student. Always learning, always growing, always expanding. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Wisdom Community. Today's show, I'm so excited because I have a guest. Of course, my guest wants to remain anonymous, so we're just going to call him The Voice. And today's topic, wow, this young man is going to break down the illusion that the ego wants us to believe that we can leave a legacy. I know, controversial. Well, you already know me, because the message that I share is controversial. Sometimes it's disruptive, contentious, and very unpopular. That's why I don't have any friends. Back to the show. When I say happiness specialist, let me just give a brief introduction, especially to new listeners. I get new listeners every week, generically, organically. I don't know how people are finding me, but welcome, welcome to Reality Spirituality, and welcome to my world. When I say happiness specialist, how dare her? You can't be happy all the time. Well, let me just be very clear when I say happy. Happiness is a vibration. It's a state in mind. It's the state of mind you were born in before all of the programming, before all of the conditioning, before all of the brainwashing. Happiness is is an energy. So when I say happy, I'm really talking about an energy and a vibration. And that energy and that vibration has nothing to do with anything external, has nothing to do with, oh, I reached my goal and now I'm happy. No, it has nothing to do with anything external. It is an internal temperature gauge. It is an internal foundational vibration. It's your set point. You know how you set your temperature gauge in the house. It's a temperature setting, vibrational setting. Let me share my definition of happiness. My definition is the ability to be at peace, the ability to vibrate peace, the ability to be the energy of peace regardless of what's happening and regardless of what doesn't happen. It's regardless of what the fires of life throw at us. And I'm just like you. This life is up and down roller coaster. Who knows? I can't control it, but what I can do is be conscious and be aware of behaviors and stories that my ego loves to get me involved in. And the reason, and listen, I'm not hating on the ego. No hating on the ego. However, my ego has one job, and that's to make me feel there's something more that's needed. I need something more. This moment is not enough. I'm unsatisfied, dissatisfied. In fact, in any moment, you can either vibrate the energy of satisfaction or dissatisfaction. So how do you vibrate the energy of satisfaction all the time? That's what I'm talking about when I say happiness. So happiness is a state of mind. It is a state in mind. And the good news is, the really good news is, happiness is a practiced skill. Huh? Yes. It is just like any other skill from landscaper, painter, speaker. Today, the NFL football. I don't know if you follow football. Athletics, an athlete, musician, performer, takes practice. And it's a lifetime of practice. And the practice is reverting back to who you were when you were born. There's nothing wrong with accomplishments, title, money, awards, but accomplishments don't make you happy. And in fact, one of my favorite stories that I like to share, forgive me if you've heard it a million times. I know I've got to get some more examples. Maybe at the beginning of the year, who knows? There is a, in 1993, he's a billionaire now. You can Google it. His name is Ted Leonsis, spelled L-E-O-N-S-I-S. And he's the owner of the Washington Capitals. That's a football team. I don't know if he's still the owner because this is an older article. Anyway, in 1983, he survived a plane crash. And after that, he was determined to change his life. You know, sometimes traumatic experiences. Why I'm changing? And so he's the one that started this bucket list of all the accomplishments that he wanted to do before he breathes his last breath. We'll get back to that, breathing your last breath. And so he made a list of 101 things Ted Leonsis had given himself to do in this lifetime. And he has it in different categories. One says family matters, financial matters, possessions, charity, sports, travel, stuff. So all of these things that he wrote down, 101, I've looked through them more than once. Don't tell him. Promise not to tell him. But there's absolutely nothing on this list. Did I mention he's a billionaire now? Nothing on this list that adds to your peace or your happiness, including this charity section, change someone's life via charity, give $1 million to Georgetown University, major impact on a children's charity, start a family charity, give away $100 million in a lifetime. That's nice. Have a building perpetual memorial named after the family. Nothing wrong with any of that. Not judging any of it. But nothing on this list adds to your peace. And that's what this show is about. That's why I'm here. When I was younger, you know, when you blow out the candles on your birthday cake and you make a wish, I always wish for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I had no clue what that looked like or what it would look like. I had no idea. I just said, I want to live to my potential, whatever the hell that is, and whatever the hell that means, and I wanted to be happy. And just like the majority of us program people, I'm thinking that get married, find Mr. Right, travel, have a job, titles, money, health. Absolutely none of that has anything to do with how much peace or your energy of peace. Absolutely nothing. And that was that was something that I discovered decades later. And the interesting thing about this wanting to be feeling like seeking happiness, all of the work, every single moment, is done in the mirror. That's why it's a road less traveled. It's done in the mirror, which is also where all the power comes from. Today's topic, we're really going to hone in on the ego and leaving a legacy. And I know it's a buzzword now. I know, what's your legacy going to be? I mean, it's a selling point. And let me just back up a little bit. Let me back up. This world sells dissatisfaction. The world sells dissatisfaction. In fact, all of the ads, I need something else. I'm not satisfied with me in this moment or my life in this moment. I'm not doing enough. All of it. The world sells dissatisfaction. Let that sink in. And I'm here to tell you that wherever you are in this moment, wherever you are, whatever you are experiencing in this moment, is just enough. It's exactly what you need. It's serving you in a way where your ego, who really wants you to identify with it for its own survival, tells you, no, it's not enough. And let me ask you a question. And if you want to speak with me on Blog Talk Radio, you can call in area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And just press the number 1 and ask your question. Or you can ask to join the show on Wisdom. Back to the ego. Whose idea? Did you pop out of the womb wanting to, needing to, desiring to leave a legacy? And what does that even mean? I know that's a draw. I know that's a draw. Yeah, leave my legacy. But the guest today, and again, his only name is The Voice. He's one of very of a very few that is not on any type of social media whatsoever, and he is my best friend. And we're the opposite of each other. We're the total opposite. However, there is something that we have in common, and that is studying the universe, the laws, the truth, ancestors teaching, all of it, growth, consciousness. We have that in common, but everything else. Anywho, I cannot, before I go on, I want to share I want to ask you a couple of questions. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? And only you can answer that. For me, of course, it's a 10. Every single moment, every waking moment, I'm making a conscious decision to choose peace over anything else. That means my actions, my behavior. That means what I say, how I move, what I don't say. It's always, every moment, unless my ego gets in there. But I know when my ego is visiting. And so what's your definition of happiness? I gave you mine, the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens. So what's your definition? And who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? Remember the slap heard all around the world in the year before, November 2021, Will Smith was interviewed by GQ magazine. He said he wanted to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world, successful. He has all of that. We can all agree on that one. But you know what else he said in that article? He said, I wasn't happy. How can someone who has everything, of course, there's countless examples of these people that have everything that the world says is successful, that money can buy, but I'm not happy. So that's my little contribution, is sharing what I've learned about this thing called happiness. And when I say it's a practice skill, well, what do you practice? What do you mean it's a practice skill, Rebecca? What are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the first part of the practice is to focus on and to put a spotlight on all of those programmed behaviors that actually subtract from your happiness. And I got a whole list. How many is on this list? 44 so far. Program behaviors that actually subtract from your peace. You want to know what some of them are? Okay, I'll tell you. Living in the past. living in the future, having preferences, resisting what is happening in the moment, trying to control anyone or anything outside of self. This is stating the obvious. Complaining. How about this one? Getting embarrassed. You know, the only reason why people get embarrassed is because they care what someone else thinks. The other program behavior, and when I say program, I'm saying you weren't born with it. You had to learn it. Taking anything personally, even if they're screaming your name. No, it's not personal. How about this one? Worrying. How many of you out there worry? Raise your hand. I know. I've asked this question a million times. Well, and I found that 98% of the population worries. And no, it's not normal, and no, it's not natural. It's a learned behavior. And the only reason why people worry, there's only one reason, lack of trust. So if you want to eliminate worrying, and eliminate worrying adds to your peace, yes, correct? Hello? Eliminating worrying would add to your peace and add to your happiness and add to your vibration and your meaning your vibration of contentment. I forgot that word, contentment. I love that word, contentment. So the solution is just practice trusting more. Practice trusting. How do you do that, Rebecca? How do you practice trusting more? Well, you start by accepting the fact that you don't trust. Or scratch that. Accepting the fact that I could trust more. I could practice trusting more. And then also surrendering to the fact that, hey, not trusting. The other thing is to ask for help. You know, don't think I'm doing any of this by myself. I go outside. I don't do traditional meditation, but I do have conversations with the universe all the time. In fact, all the time. I have a relationship, and I use the term universe. You can say God, spirit, higher power, energy, words. It's the vibration, it's the energy. So what I do, go outside, my palms are up to the sky, and I ask the universe, how do I practice trusting? How do I develop more trust? How do I relax? How do I vibrate satisfaction? How do I let go of yesterday? How do I let go of being critical of myself or others? How do I let go of judgment? I just do that, clap. Sometimes I clap, sometimes I don't clap. Let it go, say thank you, and keep it moving. And what I have found is don't keep a stopwatch on it. This is where it calls for patience. Growth sometimes takes time. And the last thing I want to ask you, there's a couple things before I bring my guest in. Oh, I cannot wait for him to share. Answer yes or no. Can other people hurt your feelings? If the answer is yes, it's because you were programmed to believe that. Can other people offend you? The answer yes or no is, if you answer yes, it's because you were programmed to believe that someone else can offend you. Can other people disappoint you? If you answer yes, the reason is because you were programmed to have expectations of other people. Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame the circumstances? If you do, if you say yes, because of the programming. So it's not you. Let yourself off the hook. I've let myself off the hook. It's the programming that's the culprit, not you. And the last thing I want to say before I bring on the guest, because I share this all the time, and I love this study. It's the study that was done by hospice nurse Bronnie Ware, spelled B-R-O-N-N-I-E, and you can Google it. It's called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. So these people had days to live, weeks to live, months to live. The 5 most common regrets of the dying. Number 1, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I didn't work so hard. Well, don't tell anybody. Promise, don't tell anybody. That's never been my problem. Never. In fact, I was labeled lazy. Lazy, 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 until I got to the point where, you know what, that label of lazy, I'm embracing it, and I'm also wearing it on my shoulders. Yeah, I'm lazy. What's up? Yay, I'm lazy. The thing is, the ego for me is always wanting me to feel bad about me. But, yeah, didn't have that problem about working too hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. And then the fourth one is, I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. And I put an asterisk by that because sometimes we outgrow our friends. It's time to move on. Sometimes our friends are just for a season. And the last one is, I wish I would have let myself be happier. Happiness is a practice skill. And with that, we're going to expose this whole ordeal about leaving a legacy. And know that it's the ego's desire to leave a legacy. And what does that even mean? Put your seatbelts on, everybody. Put your seatbelts on. We're going to take a quick, less than minute break, and we're coming right back with our guest, The Voice.
Yeah, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Spirituality. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. Spirituality. You got a question for RLM? Reality. Spirituality. Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
I told you it'd be less than a minute. Anyway, I would like to introduce The Voice. And our topic today is the illusion of leaving a legacy. When I asked you this question, and welcome to the show, Voice, when I asked you this question, so it's right here, when I asked you this question about legacy, because I hear that all the time, you know, it's one of the buzzwords. There's so many buzzwords now. One, toxic, bullying, legacy. Of course, we always have the running racist kind of thing. But can you? Where did this legacy, leaving a legacy, even start? And what is your insight on legacy?
Well, as far as it's starting, since man has been around, it's been, you know, whoever invents something first, they feel like, hey, I want to be remembered for my invention. So it's been going on since the beginning of time, the best hunter, or if you're the best of the cooker, whatever it is. So that's how the legacy thing started. And everyone, and I understand wanting to leave something behind for your loved ones. The issue with the legacy is you want to be remembered for it.
Can you say that again?
Yeah,
about you want to be remembered for it.
The legacy, you want to leave something behind for your loved ones, that or people that you don't even love, that you just want to leave a museum. I understand that. That makes perfect sense. But to say you want to be remembered by the people, you want your name to be remembered, you want all your quotes to be remembered. If you want to be remembered, then you're going down an interesting path, and I prepared a little something for you. I Googled how long will you be remembered by your family. I throw questions at Google all the time. they said, by the third generation, you will be forgotten by your own family. So by the time your great-grandchild comes around, you'll pretty much be history. you know, they'll know your name, but they won't know very much about you. I just want to go, okay, I'm going to give you an example of a guy who I believe left a legacy. His name is Genghis Khan. He existed between 1162 and 1227. They consider him the world's greatest emperor. He had a net worth of $120 trillion, U.S. dollars, today's standard, that would what it would be. The land, although Britain had more square footage, more square miles in terms of their land empire, but his empire was connected to, every country was connected. Difference between England is they had some countries that were overseas. No, his entire, he pretty much went through all of Russia, India, China, Korea, South Asia, Persia, and the Middle East, and Eastern Europe. So the man had a lot of control. To this day, his Y chromosome is in 16 million people. That's how many wives, and actually every time he conquered a land, he would marry someone and have a lot of children with them, as many as he could, because that was one of his goals. So I can go on and on with the things that he accomplished, but at the end of the day, if you mention Genghis Khan's name today to the average American,
to the masses.
The answer, they're not going to, like I said, his name is affiliated with a cooking dish now, a restaurant, things of that nature, Mongolian food or things of that nature. But his name was a mega house name back in his day. And I'm just going to move on from him. You can look him up later if you like, but then I'll go right into Julius Caesar, another great one. Famous words, I came, I saw, I conquered. He was a bad brother. He came in, he took over lands and set up governments. To this day, his people, in his day, people in Rome regarded him as a god. He was actually given that official title. His son, Augustus Caesar, was called the son of God. these people, I'm just trying to give you an example of how great this gentleman was. To this day, the calendar that we use is still influenced by Julius Caesar. He was the one that came up with the 365 days and created the leap year. And what did he conquer? Oh, yeah, I mean, some of the lands. I'll just go real quick. Italy, Greece, Spain, North Africa, and much of the Middle East, France, and Britain. So what I'm trying to say is this gentleman had a lot of power. Today, if you mention the name Julius Caesar, and as a matter of fact, we say the name often, that I think the month of July is named after Julius Caesar. So a well-known name, a lot of power, but if you mention him today to the average, to the masses, that his name is referred to as a haircut. They can't give you any information on when he was born, what he did. People don't remember him, although he was one of the greatest emperors. So that's what I'm trying to say is that, listen, you can go about trying to live a legacy and to leave a legacy for people, but your name and, like I said, maybe your influence, but your name and recognition will long be forgotten before you, like I said, by the third generation. Here we go. You know, there's one quote I want to read to you, and it's from Plato. He says, Plato. What does Plato say? He says, our need will be the real creator. And it was later transformed into an English proverb that said, necessity is the mother of inventions. So what I'm trying to say is that if Albert Einstein hadn't created the theory of relativity, someone else would have. you can get out of the way. I don't care what you invent. If there's a need for it, someone will invent it, whether you do it or not. So, I mean, and that's why I say the name, your name will not be remembered. Just now, your influence, this is another thing I want to talk about. What will you be remembered for? Well, you have an influence. You can influence people, and you say, well, what is my influence? The influence is not the goal. If the goal is influence, then that's going to be forgotten too. But if the influence is what you put out, your output,
your vibration.
If you're putting out hate and war, that will continue on. Output is what's remembered. That, and so next you say, well, what, that's why you have countries that have been fighting for hundreds and thousands of years, because your output is hate. You send it right to your children. Your children war, hate, conquer. Well, then that's what continues. So I want to give some type of solution, and the solution is to this legacy thing is help some people. Hey, leave something and help somebody. But pay attention to the output. Your peace of mind, what are you putting out? You're putting out love, you're putting out understanding, these are the things that, or if you're putting out the other hate and evil, I don't have any issues. I'm not judging what you put out. All I'm saying is that is what is going to last. Genghis Khan's output on conquering lands and taking over as much wealth as you have, that is still greed. It's still running rampant today. So meditate on the output and less on the name recognition, and leave your legacy, and just know that and leave your you can put your final nail on this, that you will be forgotten regardless of how hard you try to leave it. So just wanted to leave you with that.
And so you
yeah.
So what how did it start leaving a legacy? I know it's ego driven, but
well, I mean, and it has. I think it has its, you know, merit, because
well, how can you say it has its merit when the show is about it's like leaving legacy is illusion?
Well, yeah, well, leaving a legacy and trying to be remembered is an illusion.
Oh, okay.
But leaving a legacy of, hey, the best time that you got a son, you tell him, hey, guys, let me gather everybody in the community. The best time to plant watermelon is in April. Plant in April. Okay, now that's a legacy. I mean, because once we figured out when to start farming and when the best time to farm and so forth, then food production increased. And that's a great thing. But
so you're talking about leaving information to people that you've learned throughout your life. Just like, what is it, the Wright brothers start playing. So you're talking about leaving information, whatever you're discovered, sharing your discovery, but wanting your name to be remembered is something totally different.
That's the illusion.
That's the illusion,
yes.
Wanting your name to be remembered.
It will be forgotten. So, like I said, concentrate on what the energy you're putting out, the information you're leaving. Those things will linger on. But to if you say the Wright brothers, the gentleman that created, you know, flying, first guys to fly, no one, this generation doesn't recognize their name anymore. Now, if you say Southwest Airlines, they understand that. But who created the plane is irrelevant to this generation. That's not what they want to know. Now, what they do want to know, hey, hell yeah, okay, we need to get up in the air because I need to get over here faster and so forth. That's what is remembered, but not the Wright brothers.
Okay. And you know, you shared a story with me before about your daughter. We were talking about Martin Luther King and her generation. She's in her early 20s. And so it was just a very funny comment that I would like you to share if you
yeah, and
she's a very bright young girl.
Very bright, and you know, but and listen, I come from two different generations. when I was in elementary school, Martin Luther King was considered next to Jesus Christ. That's just how it was. The brother, you know, you learned his speeches, you learned his age, his family, all you had to paint his face. But today, if I ask my daughter, now this is in 2020, whatever, you ask my daughter, hey, do you know anything about Martin Luther King? She told me, I'll never forget. I said, so Black History Month, huh? Yeah, we had an assembly.
Was she in high school?
She was in high school. Had an assembly. I said, so who were the people they talked about? She named Aaliyah, a singer, a rap singer, or R&B singer.
Yeah, Aaliyah.
She named a college football coach. I never heard of him. All three of the people that she named were, I had never heard of. I said, what happened to the Martin Luther Kings and the Malcolm X's and the Harriet Tubmans? I said, you guys don't recognize? She said, oh, Martin Luther King is a slave. I said, no, my goodness. What are you? And what did Malcolm X? She had no clue. They're not interested in the things that I was interested in. So it's a new day. And, yeah, Martin Luther King, the only thing that people in our Black community that aren't old enough to know about King is a boulevard. Other than that, that's it. They don't know anything about his struggles, what he tried to do. The young generation is not interested. So that's just something you have to live with. So the biggest
issue, what you're saying, is this wanting to be remembered. I want to be remembered, and just letting that go.
Letting it go.
Because it's all ego.
It's all ego. Live in the moment. You have and understand that you go back and you do history. There was the first person to plant. There was the first person that created the wheel. There was the first time iron was created. Who did it? Nobody knows. And eventually, nobody will know who sets up any or will care who started who created the first light bulb. No one will care. And as a result of not caring, they won't know. Yeah.
You know what? Since I have you here on a special occasion, can you share your story that you can you share your story of being disrespected? One of the things that people talk about a lot is the disrespect, or I want to be respected, I want, you know, you respect me. I mean, that's another buzzword. And I contend, and I have contended, that there's absolutely no one can disrespect me. No one can make me feel any kind of way. No one can make me feel up or down or good or bad. So it's not about them. It's about how I feel about me. And I remember when we first met, one of the things this has been, I don't know how many decades, probably over three now that we've known each other, 35 years, I don't even know. But anyway, I just remember, don't tell anybody, I remember you telling me to talk to you with respect. Or it was a common theme. It was a common request, and quite frankly, I wasn't purposely disrespecting. I was just being myself. But listen to me. You may perceive it's disrespect, but all of this wanting someone else to change their behavior so that I will feel better, wanting someone else to change what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're thinking, compromising so I will feel better. It's not their job. It's not their responsibility. It's my job. It's my responsibility. I talked earlier about using the mirror. This is mirror work.
Mm.
If someone's disrespecting you, guess what? That means it's time for you to look in the mirror. And why do you disrespect you? And let me scratch all that disrespect you, because this whole label thing, what does that even mean anyway, disrespect? What does that mean? Please help me with this. or your insight.
You mentioned the avenue, when you go down the avenue of wanting someone else to do something in order to make you feel good, once you're on that street, it's a dead end, because even if you get the person to do what you want them to do and now, quote unquote, you're happy, the problem is that behind your happiness there's anxiety. Because and you say, oh, no, everything's straight. No, it's not straight, because this person could turn left and not go right. And anything, and you know that, they know that, anything could happen, and in one moment it could go from sugar to shit in 1 second, because their happiness is, your happiness is in their hands. And as long as they do right, everything's cool. But the moment they don't, everything's fucked up. And not only is it messed up, but you have anxiety because you're worrying the entire time, hoping that nothing goes, that they don't mess up. So there's no peace in that. The only my girl was absolutely right. The only peace that you're going to find is peace in you. I happen to be a black man.
You are?
Yeah.
You don't look black.
Coincidence. Yeah, well,
tell me. She's a jokester. Yeah. You know, she's a jokester, and that's where we're a little different. I'm a jokester, and you're not.
Yeah. I'm the same color as the black shirt I have on. I'm very black. I'm very dark.
I'm going to vouch for that.
Yeah. So, and so to a black man living in America, it's important for people to call him, unless he gives you the authority to, by his title or name or properly refer to him. You don't call a black man in America a boy. If you do that, 98% of the time, you're going to get an eyebrow raised or some type of resistance, I'll just put it that way. But I teach,
which is also a programming.
Because it's just a word, and the words really don't have power. We can go into that at another time. But what I was going to say was is that, so they're very conscious about what especially a white man calls them. So if a white man called a black man, hey boy, come here. The room is going to go quiet, and tension is going to build 98% of the time. But what I would say
let me share this story just because you said that. When my father was younger, he worked on the railroad from Chicago to California. So he worked on the railroad train as a waiter. And what was this? In the 50s? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50s. And so he told this story about he was, you know, working as a waiter, and when one of the passengers said, hey boy, what time is it? And then my father said, Ralph Norrington said, you guessed my name, now guess the time. That's a true story.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So that's what you're talking about, this whole thing with being disrespected, because some I guess communities or cultures, they're just different. There's just a lot of difference. I say we're as different as our fingerprints. And so some cultures, it's a little bit more sensitive. And even, I mean, I've heard stories about you belch or you burp in an Asian country. I may be way off, but it's considered a compliment. Mm-hmm. So what you're talking about is the nuances in different cultures. So keep going. Thank you.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is, so instead of trying to find to figure out how to control someone else, what they say, how they behave, spend that time on yourself, because you can't accomplish that. That can't be accomplished. You say, oh, if I conquer the world, I'll beat everybody into submission, they'll do what I say. Yeah, eventually you talk to everybody to conquer the world, eventually somebody's going to go up and kick your ass. That's just how it works. So instead of trying to work on someone else, work on yourself. Teach yourself how to, that anyone calling you any name other than your name, it doesn't matter. It's only thing that matters is what I call me. not what anyone else calls it. And if we begin to teach that type of culture in a couple of generations, it'll catch on. But right now, it's very important. You, girl, you call her a bitch. Well, that means something, unless you're a friend. But you're always vulnerable, and that's the part I don't like about
you. You know, you use that word, bitch. Can you talk about, you shared a story with me about your grandmother, and I remember, too, when I was raised, calling a woman a bitch was one of the worst things you could ever do. And then you shared a story about how she not that she taught you that, but you just remember her saying something. How did you even know that that was a no-no in your house?
I'm going to be honest. I don't even remember, you know, conversations about it being a no-no. Exactly. It was just one of those culture things that you just knew not to do. I mean, but in today's time, okay, my grandmother's time, she was born in 1913. The word bitch or the word nigger or nigga, those were words that if you use them, then following behind using that word, 9 times out of 10, violence was going to take place. That's how crucial it was in her day. But now things have changed. You can, if the black woman doesn't know you, you call a bitch, there's probably going to be some tension. But if they know each other, they refer to each other as bitches all the time.
So my question is, we're just going to talk really quickly. I mean, we're going from the illusion of the legacy to disrespect. And the other thing I just wanted to share right now, when you talk about words not having power, because the 98% of the population program believes that words do have power. So can you just discuss talk a little bit about your insight about how words don't have power and the power in not having words have power over you? I mean, I just remember you could hurt my feelings. Yeah, you could make me feel bad. Yeah, you could make me feel pretty or ugly in any given day based on a word that someone else used.
Yeah.
Innately, words do not have power. We were programmed to believe. I know this is controversial. I already know I'm going to get a lot of emails. I already know not a lot of fans. Words have power, right? Well, how about this? Words innately don't have power, but there is energy. And then I've heard have you seen the scientific study when water crystals and you say a word, or hey, and you keep saying a word and it affects the crystals? Well, I contended that the energy said and not the word. You say hate, disgust. That is the energy behind it. The energy behind it. So how did you, or do you even, are you at the point where words are not powerful to you, or can someone insult you? Can someone disrespect you? Can someone make you feel any certain way?
Well, I'm not going to say like 100% of the time, but I will say that my growth in that area is 190-fold, because you know when I was there, that was someone speaking disrespectful to me in any setting bothered me to the core, and it only bothered me to the core. And I have to say this, but after self-examination, I can say this, is that only because I didn't have a high enough respect level for myself. And as a result, I depended on other people to respect me, and if they didn't, and based on how they respected me was the level, the grade that I gave myself, and that's just how it was, and that's how society works in a way. Are you pretty? Well, when you walk outside, how many people said you were pretty today? Okay, well, if 10 people said it, then you're pretty. Then that's how we set our society up. You imagine a society set up where you stood in front of the mirror and made the decision. Are you pretty? Yes, I'm pretty. Good. And walked out of the door and really believed it. Like, and so if someone told you, if walked up to you and told you you were ugly, you, it would have, can you imagine that not having an effect on you at all? But it is all the programming. We've been programmed to think that what we should think of ourselves is what other people think of us. That's just a program.
Say that again. What we think of ourselves, that was powerful.
What we think of ourselves is what other people think of us. I don't know how I said it exactly, but
we depend on other people's feedback to
define ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah, and so when you're let's be clear, words have power. Some man took two syllables, or sometimes most some cases one, and put a sound together with some verbs and then gave it a meaning. And you're calling that powerful? No, what was powerful was the meaning he gave it. That's the only thing powerful about the word. And so, in other words, the only thing powerful when someone insults you are the meaning that you give the words that you hear. If you don't give the words any meaning, then the words won't insult you. I mean, that's just logic.
I love that. I love that. Well, I really appreciate you sharing today, and thank you for being on, Mr. Voice Man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I really do appreciate that. And so we're doing a come back here. I'm not finished. No, I know. No, I just want to say that. So wrapping it up as far as the takeaway is the illusion of a legacy, and you're saying wanting to be remembered is all ego.
Wanting to be remembered, your name, what? Wanting to be remembered by your name, by the gifts you've given, that's ego-driven. Now, wanting to be remembered for what you put out, the vibrations that you put out, because those will be the only things that will really truly last, that is an ego, and that's what a legacy, you know, in my opinion, should be about. But, taking tally of what you left, people are going to walk through the museum that you left and look at the pieces and not feel any type of gratitude to you for leaving it. None. They're just going to walk by it and look at it and keep going. If they like it, they like it. But they won't say, oh, Mr. Rockefeller, he really sacrificed and he thought of us, and that's why no one says that when they walk through the museum. So,
thank you. Yeah. Oh, wow. What a great stimulating. I hope everyone enjoyed that. And that is The Voice. No, we're not giving him a name because he has no name. No name. I just say, excuse me, Mr. Man. Anywho, I want to just say thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. The illusion of a legacy. You know, when I started talking about legacy, one of the reasons why I wanted to discuss it, and it is personal to me. It is personal to me because I thought I was thinking, what am I going to be remembered? Oh, my book, New York Times bestseller. All of that, but this ego wanting me to be, now I'm in the future. It's all future. So and my purpose is to expose and share the truth. And when I say the truth, universal truth, that's why I'm here. That's what I believe. And what is the truth? That we are all conscious energy experiencing in human form. And this experience is going to happen, come and go, like you're taking a nap. It's going to be over before you know it. And so my favorite quote, and it's not my quote, but it is one of my favorite quotes, is that you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. could not have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. And on this journey, we're all on it. How do I experience more peace? How do I experience more happiness? How do I vibrate that energy of contentment? How do I do that? How do I do that when there's death, there's finances, there's relationships? How do I do that? And that's all I do is share how to experience more peace along the journey. That's it. And I'm not pretending to know everything. I'm not, and they have all the answers, but I'm just sharing with you what works for me. And some of the things that the program behaviors that subtract, I talked about a little bit earlier, is being critical of yourself or others. Being critical of yourself or others. And in fact, if you're critical of other people, I don't care what they're doing, what they're saying. If you're judging and you're criticizing them, guess what? It starts in the mirror. Resisting any moment. I know there's a lot of moments. I wouldn't have signed up for this. I wouldn't have ordered this on the menu. No, thank you. You think I wanted an IRS audit this year? But oh well. And what I discovered with that audit, and I'm sharing this because I just remember thinking, and that was this year, I just remember thinking, because I had this letter. I opened the letter, and I said, what is this? IRS? What? Rebecca Norton? IRS? What? And then call this agent before a certain day. I had to call before 5 days, and I didn't even check my mail. You know, I don't check it every day. Am I behind the deadline? And I speak to this agent, and I said, is this an audit? Am I being audited? And she said, yeah. I said, oh, okay. But why was I able to brush that off like it's just, oh, did I buy grapes today? It's the same vibration. What happened is not what's important. What's happened, what is important is your vibration, is your energy. And whatever you're contributing to this planet, whatever your energy is, what you're contributing. Whatever your vibration is, your contribution. You're angry, that's what your contribution is to this planet. You're loving, you're accepting, that's your contribution. You don't even have to leave the house. If you are sad, if you are resentful, if you're, that's what you're contributing. Nothing that, hey, contribute whatever you, and there's no judgment on your contribution. I'm just sharing with you what I've discovered. Happiness is a practice skill, and the practice comes from eliminating as many programmed behaviors, and not only eliminating, what did we talk about today? Just the awareness that it's a program. Just the awareness that it's from the ego. Just the awareness is the work. I know Byron Katie talks about the work, and I love it. She's asked the four questions. Is it true? You know, question your beliefs. But today, it is just the awareness. That's it. Are you aware? Are you conscious enough? When I say enough, meaning conscious enough to choose every single moment how you are going to respond. This is the difference between reacting and responding. Response requires awareness, consciousness, self-awareness. It causes a pause. It causes how am I going to respond to this in order to keep the peace. I don't even know how I got off on that tangent, but I did. Another program behaviors is using the word should. My friend used the word should, but I don't use that word should. I never use it. I've eliminated two words from my vocabulary. Every other word is hey, I'm using it. And I mean those words too. You know those four-letter words? I love those words. But there are two words that I do not use ever. Should and mistake. There's nothing I should do, only what I'm inspired to do. If I'm not inspired, you can bet that I'm not going to be doing it. I'm not there. I wait for inspiration. And sometimes waiting for inspiration, scratch that, all the time waiting for inspiration requires patience. Do you think you're going to be more peaceful if you're patient? Do you think you're going to experience more peace if you're patient or impatient? So that's another practice, is patience, and patience with yourself, patience with your own growth. So the word is should, I've already explained that, and the other word is mistake. You look out into the world, you look out into nature, there are no mistakes. Even if animal is born with three legs, is that a mistake? Is that a mistake? It's just what is. So this mistake means it's a judgment behind it. When you say mistake, you're putting a judgment. And I say all experiences are serving in some way, whether I realize it in the moment or not, but everything is serving me. I'm getting everything I need in every single moment. And if I don't have it, guess what? I don't need it. The other thing that subtracts from happiness, just another program behavior, is lack of acceptance. Lack of acceptance of self, exactly where you are. How about this one? This is a tough one. I've graduated from here. The need to be right. Woo-wee. Boy, did I need to be right about everything. And now, even though it sounds like I need to be right, I know how I sound. I do not need to be right. But what I do need is to be at peace. The other program behaviors that are going, the non-program behaviors that add to your peace and add to your happiness, I'm just going to read a few of them and then we're going to end the show, is living consciously at all times, is being detached from any outcome, from any person, detachment. Let it go. One lady, I was talking to a student yesterday, actually she was a teacher yesterday, and she said her best friend fell, and she said her best friend fell and she was wearing flip-flops, she missed the step, and you know, I'm in a retirement community, she missed the step, I keep telling her not to wear flip-flops, and now she had to go to the emergency, and she bruised her cheek and her eye, now one of her eyes, you know, her vision is foggy. And she, you know what she asked me? She says she's so frustrating because she's not careful. She doesn't take care of herself, on and on and on. And she said to me, what would you do? What would you do? See, if somebody asks me a question, I will have an answer. And I said, I would stay out of her business. I said, you're in her business. Let her go. Her journey is her journey. Her journey, her business is her and God, her and the universe. It's not your business. Stay out of her business. Did she ask you? And part of it, letting go of these people, I promise you, your peace will rise when you stay out of, not notice, let these people go. I don't know what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing. And, of course, the pushback is, well, what if somebody's harming someone else? Ooh. Well, if I'm in, you know, if I'm somewhere and I see someone harming, of course, I'll call the police. But everyday life, I'm not noticing what anybody's doing. It's not my business. Stay out of everybody's business. And noticing and humbling and focusing starving the ego, starving the ego. Know when the ego is telling your story. Know when the ego wants you to believe, wants you to feel bad about what you're doing or what you're not doing. Practice trust. Blind trust. You know, when you, I let go of all of it. My hands are off the steering wheel. I am not driving this train. I am not driving this car. I am not driving this boat. I am not driving this plane. I know who's driving, and it's not me. Even knowing that, trusting that, believing that with everything, I have never been so relaxed in my life. I have never been so, I don't have anything to do but what I'm inspired. I don't have any, I've let go of all of it. And thanks a lot, for universe, for letting me do this at 67. It took all these years, but that's okay. Better late than never. I promise you, you know, I've used this analogy before, but have you ever gone somewhere on a trip and you've overpacked? You've overpacked. That's what I'm talking about, these program behaviors. It's just overpacking. You don't need any extra baggage. You don't need any extra suitcases. That's enough. That's enough for one day. Stop rushing. You want a homework assignment? Okay. Stop rushing. Stop being impatient. Well, practice. Scratch that. Scratch me saying stop. Practice. Stop rushing. Practice being more patient. Practice. And then celebrate your practice and celebrate your growth. Practice, 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 celebrate. Practice, 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 celebrate. Repeat. Anybody want to say anything? Anyone want to join the conversation of wisdom? Be my guest. I won't hurt you. Well, that's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can follow me on Twitter. My website is going to get revamped, coming up soon. Woo-hoo! RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. And my YouTube channel is going to be updated also. It's a work in progress, but I've got patience. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe, your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, and always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient, and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every moment. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, teacher, but more importantly, student. Happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will experience. And what you practice reflects in every moment. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Always time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RL? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby. Now we get real.
Get real.